Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked round at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come into chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, the tension between Jesus and the religious leaders, which began in chapter 5, comes to the fore. Back in chapter 4, Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath without any opposition. At that stage, the religious leaders weren't yet aware of him. Now, he hadn't yet come onto their radar. But that didn't last long. News about him spread fast. In chapter 5, we were told that the Pharisees and teachers of the law had come from all over the country to hear and observe Jesus. He was beginning to attract their attention. And as they become more aware of him, they begin to get more critical, accusing him of hanging out with the wrong kind of people, tax collectors and sinners. Well, at the end of chapter 5, Jesus explained the difference between him and these religious leaders. Compared to their traditional Jewish teachings, his teaching was like a new garment or new wine, which would replace the old. So the question then is, what was precisely new? What precisely was new about his teaching? Well, that's the question that Luke answers now in chapter 6. And he begins with a new, or perhaps a renewed, understanding of the Sabbath. He records two incidents that take place on the Sabbath day. And what we see in the first is the authority of Jesus over the Sabbath. That's our first heading, the authority of Jesus. Please look down with me again at verses 1 and 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Well, the Ten Commandments, which God gave to Israel through Moses, required God's people to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, the seventh day of the week was to be set apart as a day of rest. For 6 days, the Israelites were to do their work, and then on the seventh day, the Sabbath, they were to stop working and rest. Well, this day of rest was an important marker of Jewish identity. It was one of the things that defined what it meant to be Jewish and set them apart. And the Jews gave a great thought to what should and shouldn't be defined by work. An ancient Jewish rule book called the Mishnah contained a list of 39 activities which were prohibited on the Sabbath. It was known as the 40 less one. And by the time of Jesus, it had become accepted wisdom, convention. And it's this list that the disciples fall foul of. And they're walking through some cornfields and they're hungry. So they pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Now, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. The Old Testament law permitted someone to pluck grain from another person's field, as long as they didn't fill a container or use a harvesting implement. Well, it wasn't regarded as stealing. The problem was not what they were doing, but when they did it. It was a Sabbath day, a day of rest. And by their actions, the disciples had performed at least three, if not four, of the activities prohibited in the Mishnah, in the list of 40 less one. Plucking an ear of corn, rubbing it in your hands, and then eating it was interpreted as reaping, threshing, and winnowing, and possibly also the preparation of food. And that's what the Pharisees take issue with. Now, as their leader, Jesus is responsible for their actions, and they accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. Well, Jesus responds by taking the Pharisees to Scripture. Verse 3, Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" Well, it's a provocative move. Now, Jesus isn't asking whether the Pharisees have read what David did. He's implying that they haven't understood it. Now, the story is recorded in 1 Samuel. David was fleeing from Saul, who was determined to kill him. He and his men were hungry. So they went to the priest and asked for food. Well, the priest didn't have anything to give them except for the consecrated bread from the holy place in the tabernacle. Well, in the holy place, there were 12 loaves, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, these loaves were replaced every Sabbath. And according to the law, only the priest was allowed to eat them. But the priest took the loaves and gave them to David and his men. And there was no suggestion at all that there was anything wrong about that. It was an entirely appropriate thing for the priest and for David and his men to do. Well, by making that comparison, Jesus is saying that there's a higher moral law that takes priority over religious rituals. It's the law of love and compassion. And by extension, then, it was entirely appropriate for his disciples to pick ears of corn and eat the grain, even though it was the Sabbath, because they were hungry and in need. Jesus is saying that the Pharisees have misunderstood and misapplied the teaching of Scripture concerning the Sabbath. They've turned something that should have been a blessing into a strict and oppressive burden which prevents people's basic needs from being met. And then he makes a huge claim. He says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Or to say that he is Lord of the Sabbath is to claim to have authority over the Sabbath. We might say that Jesus is the boss of the Sabbath. It's a claim to have the authority of God himself. So this is a massive claim. Jesus is saying that he has authority to say what can and can't be done on the Sabbath. He can do with the Sabbath whatever he pleases. And therefore, since he has permitted his disciples to pick and eat grain, and since he has authority to say what can and can't be done, well, that means they've done nothing wrong. The Pharisees were mistaken. Well, this is a staggering claim. It's a claim to possess divine authority. And that's the big issue in these verses. The issue isn't primarily about what can and can't be done on the Sabbath. It's about the authority of Jesus. The Pharisees claimed authority to say what could happen on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus claims authority to contradict them. He is the one who understands and reveals God's will. Well, this is where this becomes more than an interesting story, but something of direct relevance to you and me. See, if Jesus speaks with divine authority about the things of God, then we need to listen to him. And if he speaks with divine authority, then his teaching is the measure against which all other teaching about God must be compared. Now, to the extent that any other teaching about the things of God differs to or contradicts the teaching of Jesus, it needs to be rejected as false. So as we read these verses, we need to ask ourselves who we're listening to when it comes to understanding the things of God. Is it to Jesus? Or are we getting our ideas about God and the way he wants us to live our lives from somewhere or someone else? Jesus is saying that he is the one who speaks truthfully and authoritatively on the matters of God. These are huge claims. So how can we know they're true? Well, Luke now records the story of a miraculous healing as evidence that Jesus truly does have the authority he claims. In our remaining verses, we see Jesus' authority expressed once again in an act of compassion. And we see the power of God working through him. So I've called our second heading, The Compassion of Jesus. Please look down again at verse 6. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked round at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. Well, Luke is recording here another incident which happened on a different Sabbath day. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled right hand is there. Now, Luke probably mentions that it was his right hand to indicate the seriousness of his condition. Since the majority of people are right-handed, this is the most important hand. Well, also present, in addition to the man with a shriveled right hand, are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And they're keeping a close eye on all that Jesus does and says. They're looking for an opportunity to bring charges against him. It's noticeable that their attitude to Jesus is hardening. He is already healed on the Sabbath, and they want to know whether he's making a habit of it. Well, Luke tells us that Jesus knows what they're thinking. He has supernatural knowledge of what's going on in their heads. And he doesn't try to placate them or pacify them. He does something that is deliberately provocative. He throws the gauntlet down and challenges them to recognize the authority he holds. He tells the man to get up and to stand in front of everyone so they can all see him. And then with the man standing there, he poses a question to the Pharisees. "I ask you," he says, "which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" Unless a person's condition was life-threatening, it was unlawful for a doctor to heal them on the Sabbath. The idea was that they could be healed on a different day. So doctors didn't heal on the Sabbath. They delayed their treatment until the Sabbath had ended. But by framing his question the way he does, Jesus rules that out as an option. By framing it in terms of doing good or evil, saving or destroying, he's ruling out the possibility of doing nothing and delaying until another day. It's as though to fail to do good on the Sabbath would be to do evil. To fail to save life would be to destroy it. So which will it be? Jesus asks. Which is right? In effect, he's saying to the Pharisees, it may be your kind of Sabbath to leave men disabled and in need, but my kind of Sabbath is very different. Now, the Sabbath was a gift of God to the Israelite people. It was a day of blessing and rest. Now, by the time of Jesus, the religious leaders had rightly come to understand it as a picture of what life would be like when the Messiah finally established God's kingdom. Sabbath rest was a picture of what life in the Messiah's kingdom would be like. So when the Messiah came, every day would be a Sabbath day. Every day would be marked by the enjoyment of Sabbath rest. Yet until then, somehow, the Pharisees and the religious leaders had managed to turn the Sabbath into a burden, fenced in with strict and oppressive rules. Well, it's into that context that Jesus is speaking. Now that he is present, the Messiah has come. He is standing before them, and he fulfills all that the Sabbath stood for. He is Lord of the Sabbath. To enjoy the blessings of Sabbath rest is no longer to set aside one day of the week as special. Rather, it's to come to Jesus in faith and receive restoration and healing from his hands. For the believer, every day is now a day of Sabbath rest because it's lived in personal relationship with Jesus. He has come to fill our lives with the love and compassion of God. And to demonstrate that fact, Jesus tells the man to stretch out his hand. And in front of everyone, the man is healed and his hand is completely restored. By doing good rather than evil, by saving life rather than destroying it, Jesus was not breaking the Sabbath, but fulfilling it. This miraculous healing was a clear display of God's presence with him and of God's power at work in him and through him. Jesus doesn't merely have authority over the Sabbath, he fulfills the Sabbath. He has come to restore us to the life we were made for, filled with the blessings of God's Sabbath rest. Well, it was a remarkable demonstration of God's presence and power. We might expect the response to be one of joy and celebration, but instead we're told that the religious leaders respond very differently. So finally and significantly, Luke notes the opposition of the Pharisees. That's our final heading, the opposition of the Pharisees. Please look again at verse 11, our final verse. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus acts with miraculous power, healing a man out of compassion and restoring him. And they respond by plotting against him. The more you and I get to know Jesus, the more difficult it becomes to remain ambivalent about him. As we read the things he says and does, we find that he challenges our own thinking and behavior. His words and actions are deliberately provocative. He won't allow us to remain indifferent towards him. He confronts us with his authority and draws out a response from us. Getting to know Jesus is an unsettling and uncomfortable experience. And we can respond in one of two ways. We can come to him in faith and receive all the blessings that he longs to pour into our lives. Or we can take offense and oppose him. And many do take offense. They have done from the very beginning and continue to do so today. That shouldn't surprise us. It's a very common reaction. The question is how we will respond. And the key issue is his identity. Who is this man that we should trust him? Well, Luke wants us to listen to his words and see his authority. He wants us to consider his character and see his compassion. He wants us to take note of his miracles and see his power. Ultimately, he wants us to look at his death and resurrection and see all that he has accomplished for us at the cross. And he wants us to have confidence to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior and receive all the blessings that he longs to give us. Jesus speaks with authority, revealing the things of God. He acts with power, bringing healing and life. The invitation of the gospel is to come to him in faith and enjoy the Sabbath rest that he alone can give. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you that we can enjoy the blessings of Sabbath rest today with you through faith in Jesus. Thank you for the love and compassion we receive from his hand. Please help us to walk faithfully with him day by day, rejoicing in your goodness to us. In his name we pray. Amen.